across this big, brown, flat, mysterious, crazy country, Coca-Cola presents Martin Malloy with Mick Malloy and Tony Martin.
And today we prepare for the magic of Logie Night by inviting you to help us select the winner of our third annual Brown Logie. Always a special moment here on the program. Also today, shark fishing with Tom and Nicole, the Spice Clones, Drew Barrymore's mad plan to be buried in a cat, and Australia's rudest new restaurant. Prize Dicks winds to a close today. We'll fire up the Radio Gladiators and award the Fermio. Oh, and we've got a live guest popping by. It's Andrew Gaze. Yes, it's all coming up on the program. John Howard just can't get enough of Martin Malloy.
It's a truly remarkable performance and a wonderful demonstration of the true Australian spirit.
Out with don't speak advice we constantly ignore on this program. Martin Malloy, right around the nation with myself, Tony Martin, and this bloke, our very own Miss Congeniality, Mick Malloy.
Oh, yes. That's what they call me.
Okay.
Usually behind my back.
Well, Mick, here's good news. Mm-hmm. It's almost the weekend.
Can you feel it?
Can you feel it?
And that means it's time to dump a Fermio on whoever or whatever it was that had us talking numero deux the most over the last week. And the Fermio, this program's highest accolade. I keep having to point that out for our newest listeners, of course, in Karratha, Port Hedland, a lasting tribute to incompetent plane hijacker Fumio Kutsumi, and this week brought to you by the steamy new romantic novelette, Love Before Wicket, the latest title from the Mills and Burney collection. Mick, the nominees are...
The Aphrodisiac Cheese, once banned in Italy after it was blamed for a sudden rise in birth rates. Mmm, aphrodisiac cheese. Well, that would at least explain the horny mouse currently attempting to dry hump the heel of my right shoe.
Look at him, Tone. He's going like the clappers. Cut it out, you horny rodent.
We'll send photos out to all our listeners on the fax now. What about Pauline Hanson, who this week declared...
This is Australia. English is the language spoken here.
And again stated that all Asians moving to this country could do well to learn to speak English properly. Hey, Pauline, after you.
Mr. Shit. Yes, Papua New Guinea's chicken manure king, Ababina, who wants to run for election using the name Mr. Shit. And Tone, I hope he gets his way or I'm tipping Mr. Shit could hit the fan.
And what about the Newcastle City Council, who paid a private investigator to have sex with prostitutes and to keep going back and doing it until he was sure the place he was visiting was, in fact, an illegal brothel? It's been 3 weeks, Mick. He's been going there every day. He's almost sure. It could take a couple more weeks to be absolutely certain to clear up any lingering doubts.
Yeah, he's burning the midnight oil.
That's right. That case ain't closed yet. But no, the Fumio goes to...
Susie Maroney! Who this week swam from Cuba to Florida in a shark cage. And Tone, she would have swum back too, but she messed up her tumble turn. No, her foot slipped on Florida. What can you do?
Oh, bummer. It's been non-stop action for Susie in the US since her record-breaking swim. First, she had to partake of some traditional American cuisine.
I'll have 2 quarter-pounders and a large fries, please.
All right, please proceed to the second window.
Okay.
Then there was an appearance on The Tonight Show with Jay Leno.
Okay, here she is, Australian swimming sensation Susie Maroney.
But you can't keep her away from the water for long. Susie just had to try Florida's longest water slide. Then it was off for a charity appearance, helping out at a local pet shop.
Hey, get down from there. There's room in here for everybody. Oh, can we get some newspaper put down in here?
Later that night, it was time to let the hair down.
And left and right, and can someone give me a push in the back?
And she was possibly still a bit under the weather the next day when she decided to streak at the Super Bowl.
Hey, how do you like these apples?
Oh, look, she's holding on to the cake!
Yes, I think we know that one. It's the Rembrandts. They'll be there for you. Mm. It's Martin Malloy. It's Friday. That means it's time to ask.
What's all that about?
What are you sitting on, Mick?
Listen to this, Tone. Hollywood couple Tom Cruise and Nicole Kidman plan to come face-to-face with great white sharks in South Australian water.
Wow.
Although negotiations with the couple's management are still in the preliminary stages, it is believed the couple were likely to come to South Australia before the end of the year.
Oh, okay.
Now, I don't know. They're negotiating with management.
To have a fish.
Yeah. What's the problem? Tom's not happy with the contract? Doesn't want to do a nude scene with a shark? But he's demanding a closed set. Doesn't want any other fishes in the water while he's working with the sharks.
His people are talking to the sharks.
That's exactly right. What is going on there? You know what I reckon it might be?
What's that?
He's pissed off because Susie Moroney's got a bigger shark cage than him.
Yeah.
Nah, you know what these stars are like with their dressing rooms? I reckon he's copped an eyeful of Susie Moroney's shark cage and spat the dummy big time. He's probably got them knocking up one right now that's about the size of a tennis court with a bar and Sky Channel. You wait. What's word of this gets out, everyone who's anyone will be getting their own shark cage. Yeah. Stick your head underwater off our southern coast and it'll look like the opening of an underwater planet Hollywood. Jean-Claude Van Damme will be sitting in a cage on a Harley Davidson while Bruce Willis yells, yippee-ki-yay crustaceans. No, you just don't know where it'll end. No. You wait, I'm telling you, every wannabe doing the rounds will have their own shark cage. Yeah. The Spice Girls, they'll have one with little wire partitions. They'll be jammed in there like battery hens. You reckon those animals found on that farm in Gympie were living in squalid conditions? Wait till the RSPCA get a load of the Spice Girls cage. There'll be outrage in the community. Mm. Speaking of the Spice Girls, Tony, here's an interesting development. Thailand has formed their very own Spice Girls.
I don't like it.
No, didn't think you would somehow.
What have they done? They've grown some?
Well, no, they've just got their own together and they're like dead ringers for the original. They've actually created, a cloned Spice Girls.
Wow.
They're identical to the British ones, except they can do that bendy thing with their hands. Check them out, Tone. There's Tom Yum Goong Spice, Nur Nam Tok Spice, Gan Kiao Wan Chicken Spice, Fried Spice, Sticky Rice Ball Spice. I'm tipping they'll be big. Are there any others, do you know?
I don't know.
Surely there's a Libyan Spice Girls or a Balkan Spice Girls. They're pretty cute, apparently, if you can get past their thick ankles. I know. Oh, young and yet, am I in trouble again?
No, not at all.
I got too far. I know there's an Iraqi Spice Girls. I think Uday Hussein gets a gig with them these days. I'm a big fan of Kentucky Fried Chicken's Hot and Spicy Girls.
Yeah.
They're always singing about the Zinger Zanger Zoom Burger. Gracie, you've been slow on that boing all week. But my favourite has to be the Amazon Spice Girls.
Oh, yeah. What do they do?
Well, they sing all their songs with a plate in their mouths, but somehow it still sounds better than the original.
It's the leggy Jackie Graham here at Martin Malloy.
Hey, girls, are you sick and tired of sitting around at home on your own while your other half heads on down to restaurants like Hooters for a bang-up meal and a bit of a perv on top-heavy waitresses sporting humongous jugs? Yes? Then why not pay Mick and Tone a visit at Ass Crack's Family Restaurant?
Hello, ladies. Can I take your order?
Yes, we'd like a tuna pasta, the chicken stir-fry, and a rocket salad.
Uh-huh. And will that be all?
No, actually. We were wondering if you wouldn't mind turning around and giving us a good squeeze at a couple of pounds of Ass Crack.
Certainly, ma'am. Is this to your liking?
Hey! Oh! Check out the dumplings on that one! They can't be real! Whoa!
Oh, madam, please. You're embarrassing me. Look, my butt cheeks have gone bright red. Ooh.
Every table at Ass Crack's Family Restaurant is attended by either Mick or Tone in a pair of low-slung jeans groaning under the impossible weight of their fleshy tenants.
Excuse me, waiter, I'd like to complain.
About the soup?
No, your ass.
What's the problem?
I've paid top dollar and all I've ogled so far is your bony backside.
Size isn't everything, you know. It's what you do with them that counts.
Look at them. They're sad. It's like studying an x-ray.
Ow! Are you okay, Mick?
Right, that's it. Who bit me on the butt? Well, I'm waiting. Ow! You women are animals.
Make a booking at Ass Crack's Family Restaurant this weekend and you could be waited on hand and cheek by our celebrity maitre d', David Colston.
David, we were wondering if you wouldn't mind turning around and showing us your backdoor buzzies.
Get the property!
Yeah, but David,
get off!
Well, what about bending over while we prod your massive backside with our forks?
Get off the property, Frank! That grab you back and shove you off now!
So for a top girls' night out, make a reservation now at Arsecrack's Family Restaurant, where it's always better out than in the butt cheek department.
Waiter, we'd like the check, please.
Certainly, ma'am. Would you like to fish it out yourself?
Sure.
Cold fingers. Cold fingers. Oh, that'll be Phil Collins. You can't hurry love. And I was out of the room, Mickey, trying to nut something out for prize sticks. What went to ear? What was that restaurant thing?
Arsecrack's Family Restaurant.
I'll hear it later.
You will. It's a quiet little number.
Okay.
It's not that obvious. A lot of it might go over your head.
Oh, I hope you're not, you know, nothing too
there.
Subtle. I don't want to, you know, spend too much arty gear on the show, lad. <later. laughs> Now, I mentioned prize sticks. That's winding up in the next hour.
Yeah.
What was it yesterday?
The winner was a woman who was popping suntan pills like Maltesers and turned a very bad shade of orange.
She looked like one of them traffic cones on the side of the road.
That's right.
And she won a prize. And you'll have one final chance on Prize Dicks today to get into the running for that trip to Hong Kong, the premiere of The Lost World.
Hey, call it Honkers.
Honkers.
You know the rules.
Because
we had a meeting last night. It's Honkers.
It's only Honkers for a very brief time. Say the phrase Honkers as much as you can while you can, listeners. Also, Andrew Gaze is dropping by. He's never been on the show before. And what's coming up next week is a Wednesday. The Boomers.
The Boomers are going to town against Croatia.
Okay. Well, we'll get all the basketball action stuff in the next hour. I might be a bit quiet during that.
You'll be right.
I'll work on some incisive basketball questions, Bup.
Good on you.
Yeah. That'll be good. What else? Sure. Radio Gladiators. And I just want to point out, we've got a fantastic new competition starting next week.
Mm-hmm.
We've got a $7 million cash prize. All you have to do is secure the Fairfax newspaper group for Kerry Packer by Christmas.
Yep.
It's a fantastic offer. There's a few others in the front of the queue, though.
I believe so.
And we'll throw in a free copy of our last CD poop shirt as well. It's been a great news week, hasn't it? I'm just going through the crumbs here. We've had the Sonny Bono sexual harassment case. Oh, that's unpleasant, isn't
it? Yeah, it is.
He's been accused of sexual harassment by a woman he says, I've never seen before in my life, which is exactly how he described Cher at the Golden Globe Awards. He failed to recognise her now that her face has been stretched tighter than Gina G's underderps. Have you seen her trying to sing these days, Mickey?
Yeah.
I've got you, babe.
This is fun.
Born in the wagon of a travelling show.
That's why you don't see her much.
I know.
Anymore. She's gone in for a loosening, I understand, before her next album comes out. What else? Yesterday we heard about Papua New Guinea's political candidate, Mr. Twos, we'll call him. Vote One Twos. Now from Indonesia comes news that tribesmen in the nation's easternmost province are sporting a new look for the current election campaign, penis gourds painted yellow.
Really?
The colour of the ruling Golkar Party. That's a good idea. They should do that in the Senate. Colourful penis gourds to differentiate the various party representatives. Coalition in blue, gourds. Labour in the red gourds. That's a good idea, isn't it? It'd be easier to follow on a Saturday night.
Sure.
You know, that'd get people tuning in, especially on the night when Mel Colston decides to switch gourds and cross the floor. What are they doing? It's advertising, is it?
It is.
That's what they're doing in Indonesia. There's a bit of prime frontage that hasn't been exploited before. They could make a bit of cash whopping little Coke logos on there. David Duchovny, he could be displaying Safeway the Fresh Food People and a list of specials on the gourd. Should we leave that there?
Yeah, why not?
It was also the week actress Drew Barrymore announced that her cat is such an important part of her life. After she dies, she wants her ashes mixed in with his food so she can finally live inside him, unquote. Now, you wouldn't be living there for long, though. If it's anything like my cat, you'd be evicted onto the back step after about 20 minutes. Oh, don't step in that! It's Drew Barrymore! He's been coughing up Drew balls all morning. Be a moving funeral service, wouldn't it? And so, here before the Almighty Lord, we consign the remains of Drew Barrymore to the hereafter for eternity. Here, puss, 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 puss.
This is Martin Malloy.
Martin Malloy, thanks to Coca-Cola, and now it's time for a very special Logies edition of
Radio Gladiators, your chance to represent your state and win fame, glory, and fabulous prizes. Here's today's challenge.
I'm just going through the Logies booklet, Mick, and who's hosting? Is it Daryl?
Daryl
this year.
Mm-hmm.
Is he nominated for
the comedy. I'm looking for the comedy. Yeah, comedy personality. See, there's Daryl.
Yep.
Also Eric Banner and the ever-gurning Julia Morris.
Yep.
And Plucker Duck. Has it been a poor year?
Oh, come on, Plucker. I'm rooting for Plucker.
But how's that work?
That's going to cause trouble in the Hey Hey camp, isn't it?
If Plucker wins...
Plucker comes in over the top of Daryl.
Oh, dear.
Oh. Do you think it could happen? I don't think there's a chance in hell, quite frankly.
No,
bag that up and send it Daryl's way right now. They're all from Nine, aren't they?
Yeah, they...
I mean, as if... Who from Nine is going to win over Daryl Summers? Tell me now. Would Nine ever let that happen in a million years? Is anyone from Nine going to come in over the top of Daryl?
Oh,
it's Daryl's nugget. It'll be hanging from the rear vision mirror of his car come Monday.
And what about his drinks? Remember there was that disastrous 2 or 3 year flirtation with trying to make the Logies classy, as we've said before.
Mm.
The Logies, you know, likes to think it's the Oscars. We all know it's the Brownlow.
Correct.
There's got to be tables. There's got to be drinks.
There's got to be meal numbers called between presentations.
It's got to be on for young and old, at least between Ernie Sigley and somebody else backstage. That's how it works.
Mm-hmm.
And today we're nominating our very own Brown Logie, as we always do. We're looking for the worst show of the year.
Mm.
We don't have any special guests, I'm afraid. Who are the special guests from overseas at the Logies this year? Because it's never as good as it should be.
I'll tell you who it is. Niles, the butler. They've got the butler from a show called The Nanny. Oh, good get. Good get.
Because earlier in the year it was, we're going to have the whole cast of Friends out here. But it's like that every year. You know, it's, we've got everyone from ER. Well, actually, we've got Mr. Cooper from Hanging with Mr. Cooper. But it's going to be spectacular. We have no guests here today. And we're looking for the worst thing you've seen on TV over the last year. Now, it can be a whole program, or it can just be a performance, or a line, or a music video, or a commercial. Just anything you've seen on the telly that you feel deserves our Brown Logie. What won last year, do you remember?
Oh, look, I don't know, but would Richard Carlton have been involved? He's got a whole shelf at home, chock-a-block with Brown Logies.
That could have been for any one of his debates on 60
exactly
Minutes.
Exactly right.
I think it was I Do, I Do. Remember that show with the big cake at the staircase of people getting married on
Fantastic.
The telly? That might have been our winner. Any leading nominees for you, Mick?
Okay, are we counting Jim Whaley coming out on Late Line?
Oh,
are we putting that to one side?
I think we are.
We're going for real ones? Okay, there's two for me. There's two moments that stick out like a cork. In my throat. Kerry Ann trying to get Priscilla Presley to do the Hound Dog.
That was on my list too, Mickey.
You got that one
down. That's a new low point for Australian TV.
I turned it off for about a month. I pulled the plug out of the wall.
Did you?
About a month. Yeah, I said, no, I've got to take a break. And my all-time, this is what I'm going for. This gets the Brown Lady in my book. Ray Martin's interview with Kenny G on Now You're Talking Through Your Ass. That little, coming together was as bad as it gets, my friend.
What has happened to Ray Martin's Now You're Talking Out Your Ass? Wasn't it going to be... It was 24 of them. There's going to be 24, so that's one every 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Once Kenny G got on there, the whole thing was broken, was it?
Everyone ran a million miles making that wafting motion under their nose.
We want people to choose obscure programs. See if you can test the old memory. Remember a show was on last year, just briefly... It was called University Hospital.
What?
It was, this is serious. This was prime time. It was a medical show, like ER, but everyone just had really skimpy clothes on. It was like Baywatch, and it was sick Baywatch. That's what it was. It was Baywatch in a hospital. People would remember that. And what about Murder, She Wrote Down Under?
Oh, Tone. You may have trumped me.
That's getting my vote. Do you remember those fantastic Australian accents?
Boo, she's here. I'll bet this one's her.
Who?
A lady that just got off the Brisbane bus. She's coming this way, and she'll be right in. Yes. There she is.
Oh, you mischievous little Aussie chimney sweep. Can I have some more, Mr. Fagan? And that was just one of many Aussie-stroke-Cockney accents in that episode.
Melba Drummond, me son Roo.
Are you here for Eamon McGill Day?
You made me come to this godforsaken dump to collect my money. Now, where is it?
It was only trying to get back the money the governor swindled from the town.
All right, so I was there.
I waited, but I didn't even see him.
That money was to put you through college.
Face it, Mum. It's your dream, not mine.
I'm a registered bookmaker from Brisbane.
There he is. That's my favourite. that's a registered bookmaker from Brisbane, as played by Bob Hoskins, by the sounds.
I'm a registered bookmaker from Brisbane.
What about about all that talk about the governor?
Oh,
that's a really Australian term, isn't it? I mean, beaten to the governor. Did you know?
And what about when Angela Lansbury decided to inject a token bit of Aboriginal culture, which I think had been shot on the set of The Dukes of Hazzard? Remember this?
The Aborigines believe the spirit ancestors created the present world.
During dream time.
The elders used to meet here for corroborees. Now all they get is a few kids out here for a barbie once in a while. That's about it.
Shame. A culture that lasted for 40,000 years has almost disappeared in 200.
How true it is. Yeah. Do you often pop out for a corroboree?
Corroboree!
And you can't move for youngsters having picnics and barbecues out in the outback.
It's like someone's wedgied Angela Lansbury as she's getting the word corroboree!
I don't like it.
Oh, and there's another nominee for the Brown Logie, Pauline Hanson's performance on Late Line.
Sure.
Every day there's another fact disputed that she came out with during that show. Mm. Remember how her answer to why we shouldn't have Asians moving here is because in Fairfield, the kiddies are forced to learn Vietnamese. Mm. Well, there's a letter to the paper from to the Telegraph today from Jack Toohey, principal of Fairfield Public School. He has no idea what she's talking about.
Join the club.
Vietnamese is not taught in my school, and I do not know on what basis her statement was made. So that's not... Is that... How come she didn't get in ahead of Plucker? I don't understand that. Best comedy personality.
That could be her in the suit.
We just don't know. And quickly, Sansia, any nominees for the Brown Logie?
Yep. There was a moment where on Eric Banner's show where he asked Mia Farrow if she'd come back next week, and she acted surprised.
Oh, there's a Brown Logie nomination.
Wow.
Gracie, anything you'd like to?
Only that day. Remember the day that the big storm out happened on Kerry Ann, and everybody sort of focused on that. But in the next break, when Larry Adler, the old...
He
dropped the magic word.
It just didn't register, did it?
No.
It was, old people can't say that. There was no outrage at all. Okay, well, we're looking for stuff that we may have forgotten about. Give us your nominee for our prestigious Brown Logie. Yes, we've got a six-pack of CDs, including the new Devil Drives by Dave Graney, with, of course, that fabulous single from Dave, Feeling Kind of Sporty. And Dave is going to be playing a big role on our show next week. I don't know if he knows that yet. We'll be seeing him in here Monday. And call us now with your Brown Logie nomination, 1-800-657-657. Yes, welcome back. It's Martin Malloy. It's Radio Gladiators.
I'm a registered bookmaker from Brisbane.
Yes, it's time to award the Brown Logie. What was the worst thing you saw on TV over the last year? Who's going first, Mick?
Well, Wendy's going to kick us off today. Are you there, Wen?
Hey, lads, how are you?
Not too bad. What's the standout moment on Australian television for you?
Well, I've got a couple.
Mm. Yeah.
There's actually one in Home and Away where Pippa's in a coma and... The young kid's real upset about it, but it was really pathetic acting, as per usual.
Yeah.
But this was a choice occasion.
Right.
The other one's the actual last year's Logie presentation itself, which was pretty embarrassing.
Oh, was it? And we're talking about coma acting on Home and Away. I always find the key when you're doing a bit of coma acting is what happens when you come out of the coma. What was going on there with Pippa?
Mm. Oh, a bit of flickering of the old eyes, you know.
Yeah. What was her attitude? What was her attitude?
Just staring, like,
Spaced
out look.
She just got in and went, oh, another 5 minutes. Oh, I'm still tired. Another 5 minutes.
Sansa's claiming she was angry. That's always a good way to come out of a coma.
Yeah.
Bloody coma! Damn it! Just great! All right, let's move on to Sean. Are you there, Sean?
Yes, I'm here.
What have you seen on Australian TV over the last year?
Well, I've seen a show, it's called Rain, Hail or Shine by John Sluder.
Oh, John Sluder, what is that, Queensland?
Yes, the weatherman for Channel 9.
And what was Rain, Hail and Shine?
Oh, it was just a show about what he studies and it was... It had no highlights at all.
I thought they would have broken it up into three distinct specials. Rain, and then you have to come back tomorrow night for Hail, and then stick it out for Shine.
Shine, yeah, and he could be dressed like David Elfcott. All right.
Doing a bit of trap work.
Was it anything like the one they had on Frontline? Has the weather gone mad?
Yeah, it was like that. I reckon that's what they were chucking off.
Okay.
You're onto them, Sean.
All right. Their wily scheme. Okay, thanks, Sean. Let's speak to Stacey, who I believe has a Brown Logie nominee. Is that right, Stacey?
That's right.
What is it?
It's
the entire Big Sky.
Oh, Big Sky. You're not impressed?
No, not at all.
What is the standout thing for you, though, that makes it so brown?
Oh, there's two, actually. The fact that they steal the plots from everywhere else.
Oh, do they?
Mm.
And just their acting. I mean, don't they teach them to say the whole word, or they got to abbreviate everything?
And there's not too many things you can do, you know, when a plane has to be talked down, is there? There's not too many. Have you been able to get up and change the word sky to something else on one of those billboards, Stacey?
Oh, I would love to, but I'm afraid of heights.
It's so tempting, isn't it? You've got Gary Sweet, big, and it's just waiting for an addition.
Stacey's afraid of heights. If only Gary Sweet was.
All right, thanks, Stace. Let's speak to Nikki now. You there, Nikki?
I am.
And what's your nominee?
Oh, look, not that Our Grace Carden Connection isn't a great children's program, but I think it's about time we saw something new being nominated.
Mm.
And out here in Bathurst, we've got a show called Prime Possum. Now,
and is that on the Prime Network?
It is. It's on Channel 7.
Right.
Now, I'd hate to speculate, but I think it's hosted by Piffy the Bell Ringer.
Oh, now, you could be right. We've heard talk. I know a lot of Canberra listeners are often calling us about that.
Piffy.
It's either not Piffy, but if it isn't Piffy, they have the same love for the balloon sleeve.
And what name are they using?
I honestly couldn't tell you his name because I never watched it in that great depth or detail.
I think Piffy's real name was Remy.
Well, that might be
Remy
it,
Broadway.
I think that might be it.
Oh, that's what he's up to.
And Prime Possum closely rivals Fat Cat, I'd have to say.
Oh, the possum itself.
Oh, the possum itself is great.
Much expression.
Oh, just phenomenal.
Is
Gold Logie award winning on his own, I'd say.
Ever gone nuts and snapped Remy?
He looks like he's teetering on that sort of psychotic side, but, you know, who can tell?
Does the possum have pants? No, because I find a lot of these characters, they don't have pants.
The possum wears a good old Aussie singlet.
Oh, that's
okay.
The one.
Prime singlet.
Well, that's a nominee, certainly. Thanks, Nikki.
Prime possum.
Melanie, are you with us?
Yes, I am.
What do you want to nominate for the Brown Logie?
I have to say, the Boobs, Babes and Blonde Watch episode starring the Aussie Iron Men.
Oh, now, we can see the Aussie Iron Men coming out in the Speedos on Baywatch. How was it?
It was so crap.
What was your favourite moment?
Oh, well, actually, I've got three. The first one was when Trevor Hendy got out of the van and says, totally exaggerated accent, "G'day, I'm Trevor Hendy and these are me mates." It was a shocker.
Right, number
then
two.
Then there was when Mitch nearly beat Trevor Hendy, but he just got through in the end of the race. And when they carried the limo out of the water after it went over the pier.
Did they resuscitate it?
Oh, no, they didn't have to. The people inside were all quite happy and safe.
In the limo?
Yeah.
That'll be Tom Cruise's shark case. That's the one I was talking about earlier.
Well, when we have to get Trevor Hendy in here and find out what he was up to.
Absolutely.
And these are me mates.
He was pointing to his groin.
Okay. Have we got David on the line? Are you there, David?
Yes.
Thanks for hanging in. What was your choice moment from the last year?
Well, Brown Logie, I had to think which episode of Carrie Ann I was going to nominate.
Oh, right. Well, it's too hard.
I remember back to Hey Hey, it's Saturday one night, and, what's that, the blonde chick's name on there?
Joe Beth
has come out with Don't Cry For Me, Argentina.
Oh, I didn't see that one.
Oh, now, hang on a second. Now, David, was this the episode where they had the full orchestra in? Was she singing that in front of a full orchestra?
It was, there wasn't enough noise in the background.
needed a little something.
The
orchestra wasn't big enough.
I remember one episode, Tame, where they had a full orchestra in for some reason. Someone was, maybe the three tenors were in, I don't know. Yeah. And Daryl was not about to let the opportunity slide by. And I think on this occasion, he must have come out for six numbers. We've got a bit of Lee, bad Leroy Brown. We got the lot.
Gee, and doesn't it go off when
My Way. Finished with My Way.
Does it go off when Daryl's on holiday? A couple of weeks ago, Greg Proops was hosting.
That's right.
And everyone decided to lower the bar a little bit. And it was just an innuendo fest. And they had a lotto-blowing kind of arrangement. And Joe Beth's coming out with all sorts of sleazy sort of, "I'm the best ball blower in Australia." And then, no, serious. And then Blackman's come out with, "You said a mouthful." And then Proops has decided, okay, I'll dive in. He's come in with one. And then they've arced up. Blackers has gone, "No, mate, too far. Look at the time. It's early. There's kids watching." You go, "Well, who started this?"
The cat's away, the mice will play. Daryl, don't leave shop.
Have we got, finally, Jill on the line? Are you there, Jill?
Hello.
Have you got a Brown Logie nominee for us?
Have I ever.
Yeah.
This show is on Monday to Friday at
1 o'clock every day, and it's called Yan Can Cook.
Oh, Yan Can Cook.
Now, have you seen this show?
We've had it on, always with the sound down in the office. Can Yan do anything else?
Well, he tries to do stand-up comedy with his meat cleaver and his the way he rolls his eyes. And it must be pre-recorded audience laughter, because it is just so bad.
Oh, dear. Yan Can Cook.
I don't like it.
It goes for half an hour, 5 days a week, and it's still on. It's been running for weeks.
Well, Yan Can Cook, but he can't tell a gag.
No.
And why don't they call What's Cooking that? Jan's Can Cook. That'd be
Jan's Can't Cook.
Well, I don't know about that. Yan Can Cook, is it a winner? Let's go back down the run. We've got Coma Work on Home and Away, Rain, Hail and Shine from Queensland, Big Sky, Prime Possum, Baywatch with Trevor Hendy, and Jo Beth Taylor going the sing. And Yan Can Cook, which one do you like?
Well, Tone, anyone could just about take it. But hell, we're going with Sean!
Oh,
we're going with Rain, Hail and Shine! I haven't seen it myself, but it sounds to me like it could be. Are you... Far and away, the worst bit of telly.
Are you there, Sean?
Yeah, I'm there.
It's our Brown Logie winner for 1997, and you've got yourself the 6-pack of CDs.
Thanks a lot.
We'll get them to you. Rain, Hail or Shine, they're coming your way. Going to be throwing that in for the rest of the program. And we'll be back in the next hour with Andrew Gaze. This hour of Martin Malloy, it's your last chance to get in the dip for those seats at the Hong Kong premiere of The Lost World as Prize Decks finally draws to a close. We've also got a most unusual news report from the UK and next up, Andrew Gaze. Thanks to Coca-Cola. Well, that's Alicia Zadick here at Martin Malloy. It's the second hour. Our guest has arrived, Mickey. This bloke, he's been basketball mad since age 5, and since then he's worked with the Boomers, the Tigers, the Washington Bullets and, of course, Kellogg's. Have bagged him God knows how many NBL most valuable player gongs. Mm-hmm. That's according to these notes you've written down for me. The Big Boomers v Croatia rematch is happening this Wednesday at the Sydney Entertainment Centre. Here comes the captain, the always tall Andrew Gaze. Andrew, thanks for dropping by.
Thanks very much.
Describe your outfit today.
Well, I'm fortunate enough to have the great support of Adidas. Mm-hmm. That is Adidas. Yeah. And I've got this magnificent Adidas tracksuit on.
Jeez, how many free pairs of tracky decks would you get of a year?
Actually, because I'm so tall, they have to make them up specially for me. So
really?
It's not as if I can abuse it and just walk in there and get whatever I want.
How do I get a tracky deck contract, Andrew? Well, that to me, that is pinch me tone. Is it possible? Yeah. I didn't know you could do it.
You actually can do it. What you got to do is every week you got to run out and try and average about 35 points a game.
Yeah, right. Just sitting in the stand occasionally, dropping my pants and mooning the crowd isn't going to do it for me.
Oh, we've got some hoodlums actually in our crowd at the Tigers games that come along and carry on like two bob watches, and they get on the telly so much that a few people have actually gone and given them stuff.
Oh,
so there's a chance for you.
Wow. Who are these guys? What are they doing? Give us their stats.
They're just a bunch of crazies. They're called the hoodlums. There's about half a dozen of them, and they just get up there and go nuts.
And what are your fans like, Andrew? You have a good rapport with the Tigers fans?
Our fans are fantastic. They really have a good understanding of the game, and they know not just to clap us and barrack for us when we're doing well, but when we get down, they really get behind us and try and lift us, so it's fantastic playing.
They do. They don't just turn on you like a mongrel dog.
Occasionally you have the odd bloke in the crowd that perhaps is not too happy with the way things are going and give you a bit of a spray.
Because you could hear them too on a basketball court, couldn't you? That'd be the difference to most sporting arenas, you know, because we all sit in the footy and mouth off, but they can't hear you. Yeah. On a basketball court, there wouldn't be much that didn't come by.
No, you do unfortunately hear quite a bit, and sometimes it is a little bit perturbing. You've got to bite your lip not to sort of go out there and want to give a bit of a spray back to someone, but just got to smile it off and say, oh yeah, well they paid their $15, so they deserve to give you a bit of stick sometimes.
Uh-huh. And what do you got in the way of halftime entertainment at your matches these days? Because basketball has some of the best halftime entertainment.
Let me tell you, this year, every year we have new dance girls and dance routines.
Mm-hmm.
We also have the Tiger Man who runs around and he's in a suit and he can do somersaults and dives. He does crazy things.
Who is that? Who's in the suit there? Come on.
Oh, no, he's the Tiger Man.
Is it the same bloke every week? Or do you just hand it out at the door?
No, it's the same bloke, but... But he works harder than what we do, because after the game, we're all trying to, you know, we might have a little sprain or something and trying to get the physio, but the physio's always with the Tiger Man trying to patch up those bruises and ice him down.
It's not as easy as it looks.
Oh, no. Has he ever got out of control, the Tiger Man? Have you ever had to, you know, shoot him in the ass with a tranquilizer dart just to calm him down?
Has he ever gored a spectator?
No, actually, what they do, though, is sometimes, occasionally, they get a little bit upset with the opposition mascots, and sometimes you've got to pry them apart, say, easy, fellas. They're pretty...
There's nothing so ugly as mascot violence.
Exactly.
Now, you're fairly straightforward as basketball players go, Andrew. What about becoming Australia's Dennis Rodman? Does it appeal to you as an idea?
Well, as you notice, the silver hair, I've gone for the silver rather than the pink look, so... No, it doesn't appeal to me too much. He's certainly in a world of his own, and some of his actions are pretty hard to explain.
He can play basketball, can't he?
The bottom line is, he is exceptionally good at what he does.
Yeah, so all that work with Madonna isn't impairing his game.
Well, he was fatigued for a while there.
I think most of the NBA was. And
tell us about Jordan. I mean, I don't want to harp on this because I'm sure everyone brings it up, but it is unique. He's kind of the Bradman of basketball, and it's quite unusual for someone to be acknowledged as the best player ever while they're actually alive. Does anyone dispute that?
I don't think anyone in their right mind can dispute that because of what he's done, the championships he's won, individually what he's done. But he's also raised the level of the game. He's brought something new to the game with his athleticism and the way he can create offensively. It's just second to none. And you really do see it, even with the kids of today. You know, when I was growing up, going out there shooting a three or hitting the perimeter shot was great. You go down to any schoolyard now and everyone wants to go in there and fly like Jordan and try and dunk it. And he's had a profound influence on the development of the kids coming through.
Sure.
And it's basically changed the style of play, so it's just remarkable.
And it gives you something to aim for, Andrew. I mean, Monday maybe you could be in a film with Daffy Duck. You know, you've got to have something to shoot for.
That's right. It's a big goal to hit, to actually try and achieve, but it's definitely there.
Well, can you stick around for another serious discussion of the sporting world with us, Andrew?
Mate, I'd love to.
First at Tiffany's from Deep Blue Something here at Martin Malloy. And Andrew Gaze is still with us today.
And Andrew, I just wanted to ask you about Shane Heal. How come a short ass like that can play top flight basketball? Because, I mean, look at you, lofty, you know, and your mates. You don't see it very much, but there is the odd one that bobs up. Well, how come you know, a little short ass like that can play top quality basketball?
It's just not right.
No, I agree.
No, you know, you can slap him on the head Benny Hill style, you know.
Shane's an exceptional talent with his shooting ability and his ability to play at that level. I think he's going through a stage now where he's trying to fit into that NBA role, but there's no question he'll make it as an NBA player. He's had his first year over there. But it's pretty much, you could say the same about a lot of players throughout the world. It's really being in the right place at the right time. And Shane, an exceptional talent. Had a fantastic Olympic Games series and just so happened the Minnesota Timberwolves was looking for a guy of his skills, so they picked him up and are prepared to work with him. So he's got two more years to run at his contract, and I think that next year, although this year he didn't get to play too much, next year he makes that big step up where he'll be a much more solid contributor.
Did he play against Charles Barkley at all this year? Was that rivalry renewed at all?
He did. He played against him a couple of times, but Charles was fantastic. Actually, Shane had, when Shane got into that little altercation with Charles and gave him the biggest spray of you could ever imagine, only a little... 5'10" bloke from Lilydale could give a spray like that.
He looks shocked, Charles Barkley. I don't think he'd heard potty mouth like that before.
That's right. And Shane got a photo sequence of all that action, you know, about four photos, and he actually asked Charles to sign it. And Charles was good enough to sign all those pictures for it. And
beautiful.
They get along well and they're good mates.
And now back onto the local front, the Melbourne Tigers, where you're currently sitting on the ladder.
We are currently, I believe in, say, seventh spot, sixth or seventh spot.
Right, now the old man wouldn't be too happy about that, I imagine.
Well, unfortunately, it's been a bit out of our control because we'd probably be in about fourth or fifth spot, which at this stage of the season, early days, you'd be quite content. But unfortunately, we had one of our games taken away from us.
4 points stripped. So
that hurts, but it takes a little while to catch that up, but hopefully we'll be able to catch it up.
And how do you find being coached by the old man? Is it let us in on a on the relationship there. Is it, does it get a bit testy?
No, it's been really well, real good. You know, I think that fortunately we're very compatible on the court, and his coaching style, he's not one of these rant and ravers, get in your face and sort of call you every name under the sun. He's very open and communicates well with all the players, so no. Mm-hmm.
Does he bring out embarrassing stories from when you're a kid in front of the other players, that kind of thing?
No, he doesn't do too much of that. We've got enough guys on the team that try to embarrass me and even him enough. So.
Okay. I was reading a story in the paper today about a golfer overseas, I think in Scotland, who at the end of every hole licks his ball dry. Like he won't, he'll just lick the whole thing dry and lick this on the tee. Mm. Have you ever done that with a basketball? But, you know, just before you know, a set shot from the line, have you ever stood there and just given it a thorough tonguing?
No, I've never given the ball a tonguing, but sometimes you'll kiss it and say, please, ball, go in, but you don't actually chuck the tongue on it.
Does that work at all?
You got to love the ball, you know.
And love the ball.
You have to love the ball.
Mm. Do you sleep with your ball? I mean, we hear
when
about
I was younger, I did. When did I was younger, I really loved the ball.
Yeah, and, did your dad ever come in catch you in bed with another ball? You know, with a rugby ball? What's going on here? Andrew, thanks for coming in today. And what's the next fixture on the cards? What should people be looking out for?
Well, we're obviously the season's in. People should get down and check out the NBL games because there's the talent this year in the NBL is exceptional. Yep. And the Australian team have got the Opals have got some games coming up. Mm-hmm. They're playing against Russia and we're playing some games against Croatia. So it's all happening.
And on the personal front, any more ads? Oh, I just can't get enough of your ads on telly, Andrew. I've got to. Can you do the line for me? My girlfriend always asks me to repeat it when we're having sex. I think it's where you go. It's juice free.
Well, the other thing is, when the heat's on, I trust Rexona to keep me dry.
Thanks, Andrew. See you again.
Thanks a lot.
Wishes from Human Nature here at Martin Molloy. Andrew Gaze, it's good of him to come in and be so rudely treated.
He's a good egg.
And don't forget the Australian Smiths, Boomers. Anything to do with Pete?
Yeah.
Sitting down there in the bow tie, barking orders at him.
Oh, yeah. In the tiger suit.
V Croatia, first test, Monday, 19th. That's this Monday at Melbourne Park. Second test, Tuesday, at the Newcastle Entertainment Centre. Third test, Wednesday, Sydney Entertainment Centre. Fourth test, Monday the 26th at Canberra's AIS Arena. Mm-hmm. And the fifth test, Wednesday 28th of May at Adelaide at the Powerhouse, the Clipsal Powerhouse. Okay, enough dates. Pete, what's it time for?
It's time to play Prize Dicks. Have you made a dick of yourself lately? Maybe you've showed up at an AC/DC concert dressed like one of the Pet Shop Boys. Perhaps you've unthinkingly asked Helmut Kohl when the baby's due. Or maybe you're just the leader of the One Nation Party. Whatever your tale of woe, Mick and Tony are giving you the chance to turn dictum to triumph and bag yourself a prize in the process. Okay, lads, bring forth the dicks.
Oh, Pete's been saying that for 3 weeks.
That's mild by comparison to some of the things he's been saying.
Oh, look, let's let him out of the booth. There he is. It's a Logie's moment.
It is, almost.
Hey, Pete, what are you doing Sunday night?
I'll just be taking it easy. I'm an icon in training
this
year. Yeah,
good
idea. Yeah, just sitting back and relaxing and watching the celebs interacting with the other celebs. You know, the biggest star gazers, if you like, for want of a better word, are really the celebs themselves. You know, you think the general public are really, you know, starstruck. No. It's the people in the business, the actual celebs, the on-camera personalities. They are more starstruck than anybody.
I know. You'll see Barry Crocker going, look, it's Jimmy Hannon. It's everyone's so dazzled.
Yep.
And now it's on Channel 9. I'm thinking you'd be getting good seats, wouldn't you?
Well, I tell you what, if I'm not, there's going to be some trouble. I know a few stories, you know. I've got a few I can spread around.
Anything.
As long as they change the libel laws, that is.
Okay,
you'd get a good seat for sure. You'd be able to wangle a banana lounge on stage, I reckon.
Just about. I know the corridor leading around from the back of the stage, and that is something to really see. That's the best place to sit, to see them all just before they go on, you know.
Right.
Shaking like jelly, they are.
And ingesting.
No, it's amazing, though, some of the tried and true performers. Remember Maud? Remember Maud?
From Transvestite, it came out from America.
No, Maud, the television series.
B. Arthur.
B. Arthur.
Yeah, that's
I've never seen anybody I've never seen any. Just cut that. Can we cut you that? Just, you'll cut that
you
bit out, won't you?
Forge on.
Yeah. B. Arthur. Never seen anybody so nervous. Hey, and yet, steps out. Harold introduces her. I think it was Daryl's night. Out she comes. That was the night that the fisticuffs happened with Don Lane and that other bloke, you know. But anyway, B. Arthur shaking like a jelly on a plate. Yeah. And all of a sudden, ladies and gentlemen, B. Arthur. And she steps out. Fantastic.
How'd
she
do that?
The load. She just sheds that load.
She didn't
it's
get,
just you know, like, you know, you've got too much herbs up, you just shed it.
Are you sure she wasn't just punched around by Don? Something she said. All right. No, now,
amazing.
Pete, have you made a dick of yourself? Do we have time?
Well, back, I've got to go back to the golden years of television, back to the early days of the Lokies, when we had a very big outside broadcast on, back in the black and white television days, from a naval base out of Melbourne called Cerberus.
Oh, yeah.
And I had to do the promotions for it. And all the promotions I did for the big Cerberus live show were Cerebos, and nobody picked it up. And Cerebos happens to be a well-known brand of salt.
Oh!
Nobody picked it up.
And you're still working in this industry.
Yeah.
How does that happen? What did you... What's it? It's Cerberus.
It's Cerberus.
And what
is
are
the
you
naval
calling it?
Cerebus.
Oh, my God.
Cerebus instead of Cerberus.
That
nobody picked it up.
Really? There's a three to the keeper.
Yeah, I'm just an old salt.
Okay.
Salt the old sea dog.
And that would have been quite controversial at its day.
I imagine so.
I would have, well.
I mean, that would have been the Mike Willisey being drunk on telly of his day, wouldn't it?
Sounds very quaint now, but, you know, we had a great comic we used to work with Graham Kennedy. Joff Ellen was his name. And on IMT, he was allowed to say one bloody per month. Now, have I told you this before? In the comedy sketches, because once you said bloody in those days, back in the early 60s, the
never
whole joint.
Never work again.
No. You got a huge reaction, lots of laughs. Oh, how naughty. Okay. He said bloody. He had an arrangement with the management. He could say one a month. That was the standard in those days. Anyway, one night he went on, he said two in one comedy sketch, bloody and bloody. Next day he was hauled in before the general manager. He said, what's going on here? And everybody was watching for him to come out. You know, he was almost in tears. And his explanation, why'd you say two bloodies? You know our arrangement's one. And dear old Joff said... He said, oh, well, you know, Mr. Bednall, he was the managing director, he said, Mr. Bednall, I'm going on holidays for a month tomorrow.
Okay.
And that was his excuse.
And then he dropped a Cerebos and out he went. Gee, that was known as Cerebos Gate.
Cerebos Gate.
Back then it was very serious.
All right, well, this is very serious. It's the final prize, Dix. We've got one last Lost World pack, and it's your last chance to get into the draw for that trip for two to Hong Kong.
Honkers.
It's Honkers, that's right. Just keep it to Honkers and you'll be right. And, of course, the premiere with Steven Spielberg and Pete Smith as well. Just saying words you're not allowed to as you come up the red carpet. It's hard to resist.
He'll pick you up down at Cerebros.
Okay.
You know where that is.
Call us now if you've made a prize dickie yourself. 1-800-657-657.
This is Martin Malloy.
It's the last time. It's the final time you'll hear that racket. It's the final prize. Dix, Pete Smith is here. He's got his inflatable bow tie on today. It's a special occasion, clearly, Pete.
Yeah, I met my wife when they were playing this music at dancing school.
Well,
beautiful.
It's a great tune.
What memories.
We'll hear a bit more of that before the end of the segment, don't you worry. But do we have four final Dix on the line?
Yes, we do. And today I thought we'd kick off with a young bloke named David. Are you there, Dave?
Oh, dear.
He's taken that as a no already.
He's made a dick of himself already.
there he is.
I think it's Jason. She's got Dave. She got the wrong name.
Oh, okay. Did she? Okay, Jason. Tell us what happened.
Well, I was shopping on a very busy night. Shopping, and I turned around. I seen this nice-looking girl, and I thought she was looking at me and saying hello to me. And as I turned around and looked at her, I pushed my card into a stack full of tampons. It was a tampon display. And knocked the whole display over.
Oh,
and, but that's not the end of it.
Oh, you made it worse?
Yeah, because she was saying hello to a boyfriend for a start. He'd come up, and he seen it as well. But then I got over that, and I was shopping away, and it was a busy night. And I don't know how I did this, but I was getting something. I turned around and put it in my cart and went to pay for all my shopping and everything. And she was behind me, and I was still embarrassed. And another lady came up and tapped me on the shoulder and said, excuse me, I think you've paid for my shopping. I took her cart. I paid for her shopping.
Oh, well done.
And we had to put it all back through, and she wanted it all back through, and her boyfriend and this guy, the girl and the guy were there, and they seen that as well. So,
dear.
Not all different as well.
And whose car did you drive home in? later seen on a bicycle.
Okay. Oh, dear, oh, dear.
Okay, backing into the tampon display, paying for somebody else's shopping. Really, there's not much to add there.
No.
Have you ever done that, Pete?
No, no, I keep right away from ladies' undimensionables.
Oh, I'm sure stuff like that would have happened in the gift shop. Sale. All right, let's speak. I think we do have David on the line. Are you there, David?
Yes, this is David.
Oh, good on you. Thanks for hanging in. We just thought we'd make prize dicks of ourselves on our final segment. And what's happened to you?
Well, a few years ago, I was the sportsmaster at a big primary school in Brisbane.
Right.
Primary department of a big secondary school.
Okay.
And I took the swimming team and a lot of the supporters and parents of the primary school to a swimming carnival across Brisbane at another school on the wrong day.
Oh, no!
In fact, we went there Friday night, and it was actually on Saturday morning.
Oh, how many kids are we talking?
Well, we had about 30 or 40 with us. There's actually a swimming carnival there, but it was a secondary one for GPS.
Oh, how embarrassing.
Our little guppies attracted a little bit of attention.
All those togs packed, all those shark cages unloaded for nothing. And what was happening at the school?
What's that?
What was happening there? Nothing?
Oh, nothing much. Actually, I put the kids back in the bus and we went for a drive up Mount Cooper and stuff just to fill in time till the parents were supposed to come back and pick them up.
It just went for a bit of bus surfing to keep them amused.
Fair enough.
All right, that's making a dick of yourself. And I think, yeah, you're not doing that, are you, Pete?
No way. No way. No kiddie cock-ups for me.
All right, let's see if Dana is on the line. You there, Dana?
Mm-hmm. Yep, I am.
What have you done?
This happened quite a while ago. Yep, I was staying at a friend's house. It was my best friend's house.
Yep.
And then I think I went sleepwalking because I can't remember much of it, and I didn't turn the light on or anything.
Mm.
And then I tried to climb back into bed again, but there was someone in it.
Right.
And so I thought, oh no, and so I kicked it a bit. And then someone goes, hey, who's that? And I realised it was an older brother in the bed.
Oh no.
And he had a friend staying over too, and it was in his room.
Yeah.
And his friend woke up, his friend goes, who's that? Who's that? And so they're both going, who's that? Who's that? Like this. And so I just got up and ran out.
Oh,
I didn't tell who it was or anything.
Yeah, it's like an episode of Run for Your Wife going on in there, sleepwalking. Mind you, that's an excuse people turn out a bit too often. I was sleepwalking. Mm. That's Eddie Murphy style, that excuse.
I got good running with the balls. And I remember, I was sleepwalking. I didn't know. I wasn't supposed to be there.
Do you ever go for a sleepwalk, Pete, wearing nothing but a bow tie?
Never, never. No, I don't even dream about it, boys.
Okay, let's meet our final dick for the season. And who's going to be me?
It's Cheryl. Are you there?
Yeah, hi.
How are you? You made a dick of yourself?
No, I didn't. My husband did.
Tell us about it.
Well, he started a new job, and so he decided he'd come over for lunch, so he borrowed a motorbike.
Right.
When he got home, he couldn't get the helmet off, so he had to sit there, eat his lunch with his helmet on, and then by the time he got back to work, they cut it off.
So sit there, pass the salt, please.
He's still riding motorbikes, the idiot.
And were you just, during the meal, just bouncing condiments off his head?
It was unbelievable. It was like spoon-feeding this little tiny mouth.
Wow. Open
it.
You know, that's a story that only you and Ray Martin's wife could tell. But is it our winner? Let's go over to Pete, who's been making extensive notes. What do you make of it all?
Well, I'm impressed, but I'm going back for Dana on the nocturnal goings-on.
Oh, shit! This curveball!
Wow!
I like her style.
Are you there, Dana?
Yes, I am.
Sure, you were our final dick for the season.
You know, I didn't think Dana's voice could get any higher. But we've come back, and I think it has. I think it's gone up.
She's keeping it in the family, boys. That's what I like.
Well, Sansia has taken your entry out and fed it to the Martin Malloy T-Rex, which is coming in now because it's the Lost World. Here it comes into the studio. As it has its shots, that's what I want to know.
Is it nowhere to stop?
And all the entries are inside the Martin Malloy T-Rex. Uh-oh! Pete, you're going to have to reach in and pull out a winner. If
no.
you could, in you go.
What is the worst thing I've had?
Whose name is on the sheet?
Oh, I have to wipe it with my other hand. It's Christina Ondivero of Bosley Park.
Oh, Christina, who had a bit of an accident.
accident, let's say, while she was playing tennis.
Oh, of course.
Yes.
A bit of
a bit of T-Rex work.
A bit of T-Rex work.
Put it that way. Okay.
You mean passing wind, do you, boys?
Oh, look, isn't that a classy finale? This has been done bona fide, and that's what's happened.
Yeah. She'll have to remember to tell them how she got there.
When she gets to Honkers.
Explain that to Mr. Spielberg.
We'll be expecting a full report from that glamorous premiere in Hong Kong, courtesy of the team from The Lost World. And as for you, Dani, you've got that Lost World pack.
Oh, thank you.
And thanks for coming out of the booth and performing that function for us, Pete.
Right on, boys. Great. Can I just go to the washroom?
I think you've got one more thing we need from you, because Mick, haven't you over the last 2 weeks enjoyed our Prize Dicks theme music?
Oh, have I?
Oh, I think it's been terrific, and it's been easy listening at go-go.
Mm.
Let's hear it one more time. Just hit the keyboard if you could.
Okay.
Oh, very nice.
Doesn't get any better than that.
One more time, Mick.
Why not?
That's fantastic. Okay, now let's hear it done by Pete Smith and the Martin Molloy Pops Orchestra. Pete,
check this out.
Fantastic. Take a rest, Pete. Gracie. And now, Sansia, hit those pipes.
How's this?
Excellent. Okay, Mick. Ready for our bit?
Yep, here goes.
Here at the station. Excellent. Okay, everyone, stand back. Here comes Gracie's big solo. Okay, Gracie, very nice. Keep those pants hitched up high. And make any sign of that flyover we scheduled yet? Exhausted.
Oh, I need a lie down.
We'll be back with a new competition. What would Dave Graney do from Monday on Martin Molloy?
Hanson.
Bopping away as we close the book on another week of Martin Molloy.
Good.
And I know we don't normally talk about our own best of Martin Molloy, which goes out on the weekends, but it's a top listen this time because we're going to be playing highlights of our Mother's Day special.
Oh, yeah.
And I know a lot of people missed it and didn't hear their calls or whatever, so now's your chance to hear pretty much the whole thing. Almost in its entirety.
Yep.
Some of the daggier bits cut out. Now, where does the best of go out in your state? Quite a list here. Sydney, Perth and Newcastle. The best of Martin Molloy, Saturday mornings from 8. Melbourne and Hobart, Saturday mornings from 9. Adelaide, Horsham, Nowra and Port Hedland, Saturdays from 10 in the morning. What about in Canberra, Ballarat, Cooma, Goulburn, Sunshine Coast, Gold Coast, Gosford, Orange, Townsville, Mackay, Cairns, Gladstone, Emerald, Roma and Mareeba up near Mount Molloy, Sunday mornings from 8 o'clock, and Brisbane, Darwin and Karratha, Sundays from 10.
Wow.
Time for my lie down, and let's just pack full that incinerator. Don't pack up your stuff yet, Mick Molloy.
Oh, no.
We've got to get rid of all the really piss-weak gags we didn't have room for earlier in the week, and let's send them south. Start the clock, Gracie, and I'll kick things off with news that the self-appointed Lord of the Dance, Michael Flatley, has invited the self-appointed King of Pop, Michael Jackson, to join him on stage for a one-off dance spectacular in Dublin. Jackson is similar to Flatley in many ways. Within 1 hour of coming off stage, he always has to do some innocent, harmless and important work with children.
Harvard University's Houghton Library is back in possession of a book which has been returned 223 years after it was last checked out. Acting on an anonymous tip-off, the university found the book lying on the floor in a ye olde style bogger.
In an attempt to improve their public image, America's Food and Drug Administration, the FDA, have launched a multi-million dollar ad campaign featuring Priscilla Presley. Although she's never worked with the FDA, Miss Presley pointed out, food and drugs were my late husband's two favourite things.
Papua New Guinea's chicken manure king, Ababina, has asked permission to run for election using the name Mr. Shit, the name he uses to run his own business. Mr. Shit hopes one day to retire and spend some quality time with his grandson, who locals often refer to as Mr. Shit the Turd.
Or often just that little shit. And finally, the severe cutbacks at the ABC have resulted in some new programs on your schedule. For the kiddies, there's Banana and a G-String and The Hooly Dooly. There's Current Affairs on the new look One Corner. Antique buffs will enjoy Clive Hales for love and, well, just love, really. And parliamentary broadcasts going ahead on the scaled-down order in the smallest room in the house. There, there's a stretch. Let's get out of here. Who were, of course, Andrew Gaze and the man in the big glass booth, Mr. Pete Smith, all our gladiators and prize dicks. Like I say, we will be introducing a new competition, What Would Dave Graney Do, from Monday here on Martin Molloy. Thanks to Coca-Cola. As always, a big end of week salute to our producer, Gracie.
Hey, Gracie.
Our assistant, Sancia. Making those sketches, the talented Vicky Ma. And all the button pushers right round the network grid.
They know who they are, T. Martin.
Rob Sitch will be joining us for Monday's program. And finally, it's been non-stop action, hasn't it, for Susie Moroney.
Oh, yeah.
In the US since her record-breaking swim.